Welcome to the Make Shift Happen podcast. I'm your host, Samantha Daly, entrepreneur, life coach, and your no BS bestie, here to bring you all things mindset, manifestation, and personal development. This podcast is designed to help you expand your mind and up-level your life. So turn the volume up and roll the windows down if you're coming along for the ride. Let's go make shift happen. What's up, you guys? Welcome back to the podcast. We've got a juicy little solo episode for you this week. I'm going to be talking all about five signs that you might be living in your head and cock blocking your potential. And I know you're going to be able to relate to this one. And then we're also going to close with three tips that are really going to help you move beyond this point of the overthinking and the overanalyzing and actually get into the action that is going to be required for you to get where you're trying to go in life, business, health, whatever it is that you are working on. So this entire episode was actually inspired by one of the essays inside of Brianna Weiss's 101 Essays book. So if you want to grab that book or check it out, I will also link it below in my Amazon favorites for you guys to look at. But I wanted to start with a quote from the essay because it really stood out to me and I think it encapsulates exactly what we're going to talk about today in a beautiful way. So it says, "Anxiety is usually bred out of inaction. We were born to actualize our potential, not just analyze it. Binge thinking is what happens when introspection becomes a means of avoiding a problem." Wow. Okay. I think we should read it one more time. Anxiety is usually bred out of inaction. We were born to actualize our potential, not just analyze it. Binge thinking is what happens when introspection becomes a means of avoiding a problem. Have you ever done that? Allowed this kind of deep introspection to really be a way for you to avoid acting upon the thing? We kind of touched on this in a recent episode about the root cause of procrastination and how motion and being in motion is not the same as action, right? Thinking about the thing, planning the thing, strategizing the thing, and preparing for the thing is still not actually doing the thing. And I think we can also do this with things like journaling and meditating. We can use these modalities that seem really beautiful and helpful and healthy. And in a lot of ways they are, of course, like no shade to journaling and meditating. You all know, like I'm a fan, raise my hand, love it. But it is interesting. There's this interesting phenomenon where sometimes we can use these things that look healthy from the outside as a way to kind of protect ourselves or not really deal with what we know to be true or allow ourselves to kind of like stay stuck and not actually have to do the hard thing, right? I also talked about this in a recent episode with Kel as it relates to overworking or overexercising, right? Sometimes we use things like work or being really successful or exercise and being really fit as a way to kind of like cover up some of those other demons or issues that we might really need to be dealing with. But because the mechanism that we've chosen, because the way that we've decided to cope with our life is through things that from the outside look healthy or admirable, And oftentimes are things that are actually rewarded from other people or we're getting complimented from other people about those things, it can be a lot harder to actually recognize, hey, this I'm actually using this as a band-aid, even though it can be this really beautiful, healthy, helpful thing. The way that I'm personally using it right now is a way to deflect or a way to avoid a problem, right? As the quote said, binge thinking is what happens when introspection becomes a means of avoiding a problem. And so sometimes even practices like journaling and meditating, they are, you know, designed to really help us do that introspection work. Sometimes we can, you know, put them on as kind of like a cover up or wear them as a blanket of like, oh, well, I don't actually have to do anything if I'm still just trying to find out the deeper reason. If I'm still trying to find the root, then that means I don't know how to change yet or I can't change yet, right? And I heard someone say recently, like most of the time when you tell yourself, Yes, maybe, I don't know. I think I need to meditate on it. You probably don't need to meditate on it, right? Like 8 or 9 times out of 10, you probably don't actually need to meditate on it. You're just trying to prolong that space between knowing what you need or want to do next and actually actioning it and doing the thing, right? So many of us know right now, as you're listening to this, what would elevate your life or bring some more peace or catapult you to the next level in some way or create some more success, joy, fulfillment, alignment, ease in your life. But you're scared. You're scared of what you know. So you pretend not to. You pretend that you don't know. You don't know the perfect next step that's going to help bring more ease. You don't know the perfect next step that's going to help you get closer to that fitness goal. You don't know the perfect next step that will bring you more peace or joy or fulfillment or help your business explode a little bit more. You pretend that you don't know because if you honored what you knew, it would mean you had to do something about it, right? And that is the whole theme of what we're going to dig into in this episode. And so we avoid by getting all up in our heads. We make the pro and cons list. We journal on it. We tell our friends about it. We complain to our partners about it. We gaslight ourselves into believing that we genuinely are confused and we don't have the answers yet. We decide and then we undecide. And then we decide and then we undecide over and over and over again. We meditate on it. We binge think about it. Right? And this is all only slowing us down further and really keeping us trapped. But it's one of those kind of covert coping mechanisms that we talked about, right? It's a way for us to avoid the fear, avoid the doubt, avoid the risks that are associated with what we know is that next right move, no matter how small that move is, right? This doesn't have to be like something huge. I actually find this to be really relevant for me on like a super granular level. There's certain things in my business that I consistently avoid doing or taking action on. One of those things is like, I've had so many ideas for cool new freebies that I want to put out there and give people access to these free resources. But I tell myself like, I'm not sure if that's actually going to be, you know, the right thing or if that's worth it or if it's fully aligned with my ideal client or, you know, I create all the stories and the excuses and I tell myself, I don't know if this is the right answer so that I don't actually have to make the fucking time in my schedule and actually just sit down and do the damn thing. Right? But it could also apply to something really big in your life, like quitting your job. But I think it's up to you to find out how and where this is applicable to you. But it's not just about those really big moves or, you know, the things that are super risky. Like, yes, it can apply to those, but also maybe there's like some really granular stuff in your life or your business or your career where you're like, damn, yeah, like I kind of am doing that. I'm telling myself, like, I don't know the right answer, or I don't know what to do next, just so that I don't have to do it. Or I'm telling myself I need to meditate on it more. Or I'm telling myself I need a journal, or, you know, I'm constantly talking about it to my partner. Like, I don't know what to do. What would you do? And you're rehashing the situations and you're living in the problem rather than actually just going out and solving it. But if we just keep spinning our wheels, overthinking everything, but not actually doing anything about it, where is that going to get us? But there's a reason why we choose to do that. There's a reason why that feels like a good choice to us subconsciously, because it means that we can stay safe. We can stay sheltered away from the big, bad, terrifying unknown. It means that we don't have to do hard shit. It means that we can just keep going through the motions and doing exactly what we're doing now, right? We're always, there's a secondary gain to everything. So even if it's like, oh, why am I procrastinating? Why am I not doing that thing? It's like, there's a reason why you're not doing it. And that reason is something that is of service to you. And so there's a part of you where it's like, yeah, it actually serves me to procrastinate or to not do this thing or to tell myself that I don't have the answer, because then I don't have to face whatever. I don't have to face the fear. I don't have to face the challenge. I don't have to face actually making time in my calendar or having a hard conversation. There's always a secondary gain. And so that can be really powerful to kind of think about, what am I getting out of this annoying ass pattern that I consciously am like, I don't want to be doing this anymore. Like, why is this my MO? Like, it's not serving me. Like, I don't want to be doing this. That's your conscious mind. So then kind of thinking a layer deeper, like, okay, but subconsciously, what am I getting from this? Like, what's the benefit of me not doing what I say I want to do or pretending like I don't know the answer or avoiding the action steps or whatever it is, right? An interesting question for you to ponder is, What if the only problem with your life was that you were thinking about it more than you were living it? Man, yeah, that one really stood out to me too. Okay, so that's going to set us up. That tees us up perfectly to really talk about these five signs that you are living in your head and cock blocking your potential. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to quote some of these signs from Brianna's essay, and then I'm going to kind of like add my own thoughts and my own spin and my own perspective on them. So in the essay, there's actually way, 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 way more, but I just kind of pulled out five that I felt were like the standout ones and that I wanted to speak to. So if you want to read the rest, you'll have to grab the book. So number one is your goals are perfect outcomes, not perfect actions. Okay, so again, these are five signs that you're really living in your head and kind of stuck in that overthinking cycle, which is blocking you from your full potential. The first sign is that your goals are set up to be perfect outcomes rather than perfect actions. So you are more in love with your ideas than you are with the actual work and processes that are required to make them a reality. Oof, I know the girlies can relate to that one. When you dream up your perfect life, you really think about how you're going to be seen rather than what your daily tasks will include. So I know a lot of us do and practice visualization, and you've probably done a million visualizations about your dream life, the next level of your life, the next level of your business, whatever it is. And if you haven't, like, join the club, okay? There's a free one somewhere on the podcast. It's about like your abundant future. Look for it. Type it into the search bar. Meditation. I don't know. Hopefully it will come up, but it is published on Makeshift Happen. But anyways, like, we've done all these visualizations about our future life, and we're never actually visualizing like the work and the processes and like what it's going to take to get there. No, we're in the end. We're focusing on the end game, and that is valuable, and that's super useful and super helpful. But it's interesting to kind of consider, oh man, like, have I ever really thought about what those perfect actions would be and what that work and that process would actually look like? Or have I just been living in the vision of like this, you know, la la dreamland? I think we're all guilty of this because the outcome of where we want to get to is way sexier than the process that it's going to take to get there. You know, you're dreaming of yourself with the financial freedom to do whatever the fuck you want. Like, how many of us, yeah, raise a hand, holler at your girl if you're like, yeah, that's part of my vision. I want more financial freedom so I can do whatever the fuck I want. Like, welcome to the club. So we're dreaming of that, but we've kind of completely left out of that vision what we would actually have to do to get there. I mean, yeah, that's going to be a major cock block to our potential, right? Because then we don't have any sort of game plan. We don't have any sort of realistic framework to follow. All you have in that moment is pretty much like a pipe dream. So it's like that quote that says, like, dreams are only dreams until you make them a reality. And I do believe that those big, lofty visions that you have when you sit with like your dream life, I do believe that you can make those real. But the point of this here is just a reminder, like, we often forget that there is a whole unsexy side to getting what you want that is most likely going to involve you doing some hard shit. And that's just part of the process. And I think that this also speaks to the idea of enjoying the journey. If our goals are just the outcomes and we're not thinking about the actions, then we're probably going to be pretty dissatisfied when we're running ourselves into the ground or we're hustling super hard for an outcome and we're not actually focusing on the work and the processes and how we can make that part more amazing or more of a fit for our lifestyle and our priorities. And that's huge. And sometimes you do want to just like put your head down and hustle, and speed is really important to you, and you're just like, yep, this is the season that I'm in and I'm here for it, and I'm hungry and I'm ready. And I fucking love that for you. If that's the space that you're in, like, honor that. You don't need to enjoy the journey in every single phase or era, but at some point there will be for sure times where you're like, this doesn't feel good anymore. Like, I don't want to be hustling this hard, or I don't want to have my head down all the time. I want to stop and smell the roses. I want to spend more time in my life or with my family. And then that's where we get to kind of reflect on this point of like, are we looking at the work and the processes that are required to make our dreams a reality? And if so, how can we adapt our pace to make sense for the kind of life that we want to be living while we are in pursuit, right? So the whole focus isn't just like pursue, 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 but it's like, I would like to be pursuing this goal while also living a beautiful life at the same time. And there's definitely sacrifice there. Like, don't get me wrong. If you're in hustle mode and you're like, my business or my career is my like number one priority right now, you are going to go faster than the people around you who's like, you know what, actually my priority right now is family, or I want to have kids, or being really present, or whatever. Like, you're going to move faster. Like, that's facts. So I also don't like this false narrative of like, yeah, you can go just as fast as everyone else without working as hard or putting in what it takes. But it's not about being the fastest, right? For a lot of us, it's like, I want to enjoy the process and I want to enjoy the journey. And can we accept that our pace might fluctuate and change? And there might be seasons where we're going really fast. And then there might be seasons where we're at a jog or a moderate pace, or we're even moving really slowly, or we're walking or we're crawling, but it doesn't matter because we focused on the action steps. We focused on the work and the processes required to make our dreams a reality. And we're making that part of the formula also enjoyable, not just like working hard and hating our lives until we get somewhere that we think is worth going. Okay, number two, the second sign that you might be overthinking and blocking your potential is that your purpose in life is really abstract. So you know that you want to help people in some way, but instead of just starting where you are with what you have and what you know, you're kind of caught up in needing it to be the perfect idea or the perfect business opportunity or the fastest way to make impact or make money. So rather than just embodying your passions right now in the situations that you are already in, or the day-to-day interactions that you are already having, you're busy thinking that it needs to be some grandiose thing or be directed only to a specific target market online that needs to be defined by a niche. Like, just start today. Offer a piece of wisdom or share your expertise with someone that you know, or a friend, or someone that might be able to use it. Write a post and publish it for the one person who might find value in it and will be like, wow, I really needed to see that. I really needed that reminder. That is you embodying your passion and your purpose in life right now. Even if you're like, I don't know what my purpose is. If you know that you were meant to really help people in some way, then just start helping people in whatever way you can. You don't need to have the perfect idea. You don't need to have the business plan. You don't need to know what your strategy is going to be on social. Like, just do something, just one thing, because that one thing will inspire the next thing and the next thing. I think this is probably the biggest thing that's holding everyone back, is thinking that I need to have the perfect plan laid out for me from day one before I can actually start. And so then you're just sitting there in a soul-sucking job that you hate, being like, well, I can't quit this yet because I don't know what my purpose is. And you're right, but you're prolonging that process because you're not even starting. You're not even embodying what you already know now in the situations that you're in, with the people that you have access to, with the community around you, with the, you know, friends and family, social media following that you have. Like, you're not actually doing anything. You're stuck in, oh my gosh, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Wow. What a theme. We're going to see this continue to come up over and over again in this episode, this idea of like, I don't know, therefore I'm not taking action. Okay, moving on to the third sign. The solution to most of your problems would just be to make a small change, but you're refusing to do it. So this is a classic sign that you are using overthinking as a way to deflect. Analyzing the problem at hand seems like an important part of the process to creating change, right? When we need to understand the problem, we need to know what's going wrong. Yes. And you're pretty good at that part, right? And you're correct. It is an important part of the process. But you getting stuck in the overanalyzation of the things that you hate about your job, or the relationship that you're unsure of, or the bottleneck in your business, or the glass ceiling in your career, or the dissatisfaction that you currently have with your health or fitness, if all you're doing is staying there and analyzing the problem, then you're not actually getting to the point of figuring out what the solution is, right? The whole point of analyzing and dissecting a problem is to find a solution. And I would be willing to bet that whatever challenge you're facing in your life right now, no matter how big or small, there's very likely one small change that you could make, potentially even today, that would just put you on the path to where you want to go. So it's probably not going to be a cure-all, right? Because those don't really exist. But it's definitely going to give you some forward motion towards who and where you want to be. There's probably one small change that you could make. But if you are too stuck in overthinking the problem, then nothing is really going to look like a viable solution to you because you're not actually open to solutions. You're stuck in problem mode. And that is why nothing has changed yet. All right, sign number four that you are living in your head and blocking your potential is that you are always busy, yet never productive enough. Your work never seems to be done. You lose hours and don't know where they've gone. You're always stressed and frizzling out your brain as though you're perpetually in the middle of a high-intensity task that never sees completion. Wow. This one really, really landed with me. It actually landed a little bit too hard to the point where I felt like I was being personally attacked. So if you feel the same way, you are not alone. Your work never seems to be done. You lose hours and don't know where they've gone. You're always stressed and frizzling out your brain as though you're perpetually in the middle of a high-intensity task that never sees completion. Fuck. So one thing that I've noticed about me is that my mind is always busy. So it makes me feel like my schedule is always busy. And to be fair, like I have a lot of balls in the air at once. I have a lot of clients and programs and projects that I'm managing, but my calendar isn't crazy, crazy jam-packed, or at least I don't think that it is. I mean, some weeks are better than others, but like generally I have no calls on Mondays, Wednesdays, or Fridays unless I'm recording podcasts. But I don't see clients on Mondays, Wednesdays, or Fridays ever. And I always take weekends off. But I think I would have a lot more free time if I wasn't so easily distracted by how busy my mind is feeling, which then leads me to want to cope in some way. I want to cope with that feeling of like, oh, the busyness and the pressure and the overwhelm. So I'll go get a snack, or I'll scroll on my phone, or I'll start doing like busy work and answering Telegram messages or responding in Slack to my team. And then I look up and 30 or 60 minutes sometimes has passed. And in that time, like I could have made a significant dent in whatever I was working on that was initially making me feel like, oh my God, I'm so busy, I better get to work. So that's what caused me to want to escape. But now I'm even more overwhelmed because I'm more behind and I feel like my schedule is more packed because I have less time. And how am I going to finish all of this? And oh my God, I just want to numb and avoid again. So we restart the whole fucking cycle. Like, I would love to know psychologically what that is, because I'll tell you what it is. It's fucking irritating. So if you can relate to that, like, just know, like, you are not alone. Like, everyone's workday is not looking perfect. They're not sitting down and being perfectly productive and moving from task one to task two and then taking a nice little 10-minute break and then having their perfect lunch break. I mean, like some people I'm sure are, right? I don't know. But like I'm not one of them. Absolutely not. So this is a sign that you are in your head. And I know it's a sign for me that I'm in my head a lot of the times, is this kind of like feeling like you're always busy yet never productive enough. A caveat to this is like sometimes you are productive enough, but you have unrealistic expectations for yourself. And so then you tell yourself that you're not productive enough, which is a little bit of a different issue. But I just wanted to share my kind of experience with what it feels like for me having such a busy mind and also having a story and a narrative of like, I'm so busy. Oh my gosh, I have so much to do. Like that's definitely a story that I've had for a long time. And because I carry that story, no matter what my calendar looks like, that is the feeling that my body experiences. And so then it leads me to want to avoid or procrastinate or whatever. And then that makes it worse because when I avoid a task or procrastinate it, then I have less time to get the things done that I know I needed to get done. And so then I feel even busier. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, which so many limiting beliefs are self-fulfilling prophecies, right? The more that you believe it, the more that you actually create it to be real in your life. So that is one that I have been working on for a long time. And like, I'm not healed, y'all. I'm not healed. I definitely still carry that story of like, oh my God, I'm so busy. And I'm fucking over it. But we'll see. I'll keep you updated on how I'm going with that. If you can resonate, let me know. All right, and our last and final sign that you are probably up in your head, cockwalking your potential, is that you are always imagining what you want to do, yet you're not really doing it. Yikes. You've convinced yourself that life begins when all the pieces are in place. But in reality, life is the act of doing just that. Wow, I fucking love that. You've convinced yourself that life begins when all the pieces are in place. But in reality, life is the act of doing just that. Life is the act of one by one putting all of those pieces into place. I know so many of us can relate to this idea of, you know, I'll feel more free when, I'll be so much happier when, I'll finally feel confident when, my life will be juicier and more fulfilling and more fun when. And we're really convincing ourselves that life is going to begin, true life is going to begin when those pieces are in place. But your life is actually just about taking one piece at a time and completing that puzzle. And you don't go from where you are to where you want to be without those tiny, 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 sometimes so small steps that they seem insignificant. I really think that if you can see a clear path to the finish line from where you are currently standing, then your goal probably isn't big enough. Like, it is supposed to feel uncertain. You're not supposed to know steps A to Z when you start. It's normal to feel like you are flying blind when pursuing a new version of your life. Stop making it wrong. Stop thinking that you need to know more before you take action. No, you need to do more. Make the moves. I think that's a huge misconception. We're all thinking like, oh, once the puzzle pieces are in place, then it will make sense. And then I can start and then I can have that and then I'll be happy. And it's like, no, you're supposed to feel confused. It's supposed to be uncertain. You're supposed to not know. If from where you're standing, you can see steps A to Z and the finish line of where you're trying to go, then I really think your dream is too small. I don't think that you're reaching high enough, because that's not how it's supposed to be. And we need to stop telling ourselves that it should be that way. We need to stop trying to convince ourselves like, oh, I shouldn't feel this confused. I shouldn't feel this uncertain. Like, I should just know. No, you shouldn't. How would you fucking know? How would you know what step G, H, X, Y is if you haven't even completed A, B, C, D, E, and F? How would you know? You wouldn't, right? And I think when we can just accept that, then we can kind of quiet some of those stories in our mind that are telling us like, oh, you know, you need to learn more first, or you need more clarity before you start. Again, like I say this all the time, but like, you're not going to get clarity unless you're taking action. Clarity is born from action. And a lot of people think, oh shoot, no, I can't act because I'm not totally clear yet. I don't have all the answers. I don't know the path. I don't know the steps. I'm not organized enough. I'm not fully clear on my niche. Like, whether it's business, life, fitness, whatever, motherhood, whatever. A lot of people are stuck thinking like, oh, I don't have the clarity, so that must disqualify me. And the thing is that you're never going to actually find that clarity until you start taking action, until you start putting one foot in front of the other and just like doing the thing. If you do step one, then that will inform you about what step two might need to be. And that will inform you about what step three might need to be. And that is the way that you start to put all those tiny little puzzle pieces together to build a life that you are so proud of and that you're enjoying and that you're fulfilled by and that you love. There's another quote from the essay that I wanted to pull out and share that goes along with this perfectly. And it said, complexity is a product of insecurity. Oof. Complexity is a product of insecurity. And insecurity is a product of being unable to accept the simple reality of the situation. So because we feel like we don't have all of the steps or all of the answers or the whole process figured out yet, we will often tell ourselves a story of like, oh my gosh, this is so complex. This is so hard. There's so many moving parts. I don't know what to do. Yes, you do. You are creating complexity because that allows you to stay in problem mode rather than action mode. If we go back to number four, sign number four about solutions, being in problem mode and not being able to see those solutions, there is a solution. You are just either not open to seeing it or you are afraid of what it might entail. So you stall and you wait and you overthink and you dream about your big vision while just doing the same shit otherwise. This idea of like, I don't know, I've talked about this for probably 4 years now. You probably heard this in like the early episodes back from 2020 when the podcast first began. I've always said this and it feels more true than ever and goes along with this perfectly. This whole thing about people saying like, I don't know, especially when it comes to their dreams, their purpose, goals in life, like what they need to do next, how they want to expand or catapult their business. I don't know so often means actually I do know, but I'm scared of what I will have to do or change if I accept what I know as being the truth. So when people say, I don't know, a lot of times they're saying, actually, I know there's a part of me, there's a quiet part of me inside that knows, but I'm scared. And I kind of prefer the land of not knowing and telling myself, oh, I'm so confused, as opposed to actually having to act on that thing and having to actually show up and do what I know would be required. So the key is this. Once you know what you need to do or what you want to do, what you desire to do, then you've got to actually act on it, which is when the real work begins. Most people will spend the majority of their time just focusing on the pre-work, the thinking, the analyzing, the questioning, the preparing. And if you stay there, then you don't actually have to face the discomfort of making changes, of taking risks, of breaking habits, of changing those stories, of becoming a new you and rebuilding some aspect of your life. So if this has resonated with you, I want to close with a couple of things that we can do, because you might be like, oh my gosh, okay, yes, I get it. But where do we go from here? Like, what do I do now? And I think we can keep this like really, really simple. There's just three things that I think are going to be really helpful for you to do next if you resonated with this episode. The first thing is for you to get into your body and access the wisdom of your heart. The way that we're going to stop this overthinking and overanalyzing is by accessing the wisdom of our heart and getting into our body. So you can do this by walking, running, working out with really good music, yoga, dancing. Oh my God, dancing is probably number one. Like, if you danced to one song every single day, your life, your energy, your confidence, your creativity, your inner wisdom, it would all change. It would all change. Dance is therapy. Dance is healing. Dance is somatically moving and processing and purging things from your body and from your subconscious. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful practice. So of course you can do whatever kind of physical activity feels like therapy for you. And it's where you stop thinking about all the things and you're just really present and you're alive and you're in your body. But that's something that you should strive to do on the daily, is getting into your body so that you can access the wisdom of your heart. The second thing is to ask yourself this question. You're going to ask yourself, what am I pretending not to know? What am I pretending not to know? So find out where you might be avoiding the solution that's been right in front of you, or that you've known about all along, but you've been telling yourself, I don't know. Or find that next right move that you've been avoiding or procrastinating because of how intimidating it might feel. That's what you're going to uncover by really applying some radical honesty and answering that question of, what am I pretending not to know? And the last thing, number three, is to just write down your first step. For whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, solve, heal, expand, whatever, what is your step one? And it's probably going to feel so ridiculously small and insignificant that like it wouldn't even matter or make a difference if you did it or didn't do it. And that's fine. That's how step ones should feel. Do it anyway. Write down your step one and then just go do step one. Only then can you start to worry about step two. And then you just repeat the process. So there you have it, you guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If it resonated with you, please let me know on social media. Take a screenshot, share it to your Instagram stories, or shoot me a DM. Make sure that you tag me so that I can see your shares and repost them. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the podcast. And I hope to see you next week. We will talk to you soon. Bye.